بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما امروا الا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers listening over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will discuss tonight, inshallah, a very important aspect of our lives. The subject is a very broad subject, but it is vital, it is important, and we have to bring this into our lives. We have heard talks on many occasions on sincerity and ikhlas, but this is something that we have to repeat. We have to listen to the importance of sincerity, the fazail of sincerity, to bring this ikhlas into our lives. Allah Rabbul Izzat has mentioned, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that they have not been commanded, إِلَّا, except that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making his deen, the deen, sincere for Allah. In other words, all the actions should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person must remove from his heart ghayrullah. In whatever action he is doing, he must do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There mustn't be a speck of insincerity in his heart. He must not do it for any other person. Must be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has not come overnight. Some mashayikh have mentioned that we spent years, 20, 30 years, just trying to get ikhlas into our lives. There was a very great alim, Maulana Habib Rahman rahmatullahi alayhi, in India. In fact, he was a politician as well. Great alim, profound knowledge. He was once going to Raipur to meet Hazrat Raipuri rahmatullahi alayh. And on his way, he thought he would just stop at Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayh, Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullahi alayh, in Saharanpur, with a question. Hazrat, what is tasawuf? Tasawuf, kis cheez ka naam hai? What is tasawuf all about? We hear about tasawuf, tasawuf. What is tasawuf all about? And he thought to himself, if Hazrat gives this answer, this definition, I will make this ishkal, I will pose this question and objection. And if he gives this definition, then this is the question I will pose to him. Because he said himself that I had made a lot of mutala'ah, studied very deeply different books of tasawuf. But still I needed to know what the crux and essence of tasawuf is all about. So he goes to Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi was busy in his kutub khana, in his library. And I've heard from many people that Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi's library was such that right till the roof there was kitabs, and he would be secluded in his library. Nobody would be given permission to come. And if somebody had to come, there wasn't even any place for him to sit. There was only a place for the Shaykh busy making or studying. And if the person had to come in, he'll just stand there by the entrance. And whatever important work there was, Hazrat Shaykh will quickly answer him and this person will take leave. In other words, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi needed that khalwat, that privacy, so that he may study different kitabs. Because he was a great scholar. In his student days, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi wrote so many shuruhat and so many academic works that helps the ulama throughout their life. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah required that certain time of privacy where he could study intently. Nonetheless, Mullah Habib Rahman rahmatullahi alayhi comes there, seeks permission. Salaam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Hazrat, I just came to make salam to you. I'm going to Hazrat Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi, but just one question. And I'll be there for 1 week. When I come back on my return, you may give me the answer. So take your time. You got 1 week to give me a reply. And sawal kya hai? Tasawuf kya hai? Kis cheez ka naam hai? Give me the definition of tasawuf. Think about it. And after 1 week, you can give me the answer. Hazrat Sheikh said, Walaikum as-salam, bhai bhai thero. Nahi. There's no need for you to go anyway. Listen to the answer now and take it. He said, have you read Bukhari Sharif? Of course, Hazrat Bukhari Sharif. Have you read the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif? He said, yes. He said, what's the first hadith? He said, Rasulullah said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That every action is judged according to its intention. He said, have you read the hadith of Jibreel? What is Ihsan? أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. We discuss this hadith in detail. So he said, tasawuf is the... What is tasawuf? As the Sheikh said, tasawuf ikhlas ka naam hai. What is tasawuf all about? Inculcating and building in yourself ikhlas. The first hadith, this is the ibtida, the beginning of tasawuf, is the first hadith of Bukhari. That a person should do all his actions, whether it is salat, zakat, hajj, qurbani, roza, umrah, bayan, waaz, nasihat, feeding the people, doing charitable works, helping the needy, the poor, the orphan, whatever it may be. The beginning of it is, innamal a'malu binniyat. I'm doing it only for my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for show, not for out of ostentation, not for fame, not for any worldly gain. I'm doing it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the end of the tasawuf, the intiha, the highest point is, that every action, I'm worshipping Allah in such a way, that I am seeing my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or at least I have this consciousness that Allah is watching me. Now this is the tasawuf. So Hazrat Shaykh Ramad gave this answer. Mawlana Habib Rahman Ramad says, I was bewildered, I was amazed. I thought I would ask this question and that ishkal and that i'tiraz. I couldn't ask any other question because Hazrat Shaykh had solved all the problems. So the important thing is ikhlas, to get this ikhlas. In fact, as Allama Nawawi Rahmatullahi Alayh has written a very beautiful kitab which is studied in, I think, practically every madrasa of the world. It's a hadith kitab, Riyadus Salihin. And the very first chapter has got Babu Ikhlas in Niyah wa Ihdariha. The chapter concerning having sincerity. Ikhlas actually means to make something free, to free something. So in other words, you're going to free your heart and free your niyat from everybody else besides Allah. The only niyat you're going to have, which is sahih, which is correct, is to do something for Allah. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan says, a person before he does any action, then he must ponder and reflect. Why am I doing this action? What's my niyat? And when he ponders and reflects, if there's any fasad in it, if there's any wrong intention he has in it, immediately he must eradicate it. He must remove it. In other words, if a person is giving sadaqah so that people may say he's a very generous person, then this is fasad in his niyat. It's corrupting his niyat. And he must remove this. Then his niyat will become sahih. So the very first chapter has got about ikhlas, sincerity of the niyat. And ihdar, all the time making your niyat hazir. In other words, all the time pondering, reflecting, why am I doing this action? And the ayat he has brought in the beginning of this chapter is what we discussed now. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And also, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِيَّنَالُ تَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Which we hear the time of Qurbani. That the meat, the flesh and the blood of the animal does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what reaches Allah? The taqwa. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala explains what is the meaning of taqwa here. He says, ikhlas. Allah wants to see that you are making that qurbani, you are sacrificing that animal for who? For people, to show them how many animals you slaughtered, how you slaughtering, how much you paid for your animal. Yes, sometimes somebody asks, and no problem in telling the person, but your niyat mustn't be to show them that I spend so much. And look at my animal and how big the size of my animal is, so we broadcast to the whole world. And everybody makes wah wah. Then we are bringing fasad in the niyat. People will see, they'll come to know, mashallah, what a beautiful animal, make shukr. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah give me the tawfiq of getting this animal. But then to make it a big, make a hue and cry about it so that a person gains fame. And then we'll take the picture of the animal and we'll post this thing onto the website, or all other people will get, see this person's animal, how big? No, that's not the maqsad of qurbani. To do something sincerely, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not the blood and the flesh that reaches Allah. Allah wants to see your ikhlas. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِّرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ Rasulullah is commanded, O Muhammad, tell the people that I have been commanded by my Allah, that all my actions, the entire deen is only for Allah, and I must do everything solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first hadith that is brought in this kitab, Riyadu Salihin, or even in many other kitabs that the scholars have written, authors have written. In fact, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, from the thousands of ahadith, he selected innama al-a'malu bin niyat as the first hadith. And the reason is that he is checking his own niyat first. And like that, every other writer and author, then why am I writing this kitab? So that people may see what a good writer he is. And so that I may gain some fame or some monies out of this whole thing. No, I'm doing it only for the pleasure of Allah. Why? Because Allah is well aware of my niyat. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ Whatever action I am doing, then Allah is going to reward me according to my intention. And the hadith further says, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ The meaning of this hadith is that every action or actions, innama al-a'mal comes in the plural form. Actions are only judged. In Arabic, the word innama comes to confine something. In other words, actions are only judged by the intentions. When did Rasulullah say this hadith? We know he made hijrat from Makkah to Madinah. When they came to Madinah Munawwara, Sahaba also made hijrat, they came to Madinah. Amongst them, there was a person who came. He left Makkah, he came to Medina. And his maqsad and intention to come to Medina was solely to marry a woman. She had told him, that, listen, if you want to marry me, then I'm going to Medina, I'm making hijrat. You will come all the way there. And you must make hijrat and come to Medina. Then and only then I will marry you. So his maqsad was not Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to marry this woman. Oh, he may have done that to please Allah and Rasulullah, but with it, his other intention was to marry this woman. When Rasulullah heard of this, he mentioned this hadith. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Whosoever's intention was solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his hijrat, his migration was towards Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his hijrat, his migration in the eyes of Allah will be that he came to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he'll be rewarded for that. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا But whosoever's hijrat, he left Makkah, came to Madinah for some worldly purpose, for dunya. He came to buy some property, he came to sell something, he came to do some business. You see, Buha, hadith says, perhaps he'll make some gains. He'll make some business, he'll get some dunya. Or if he made hijrat, ilam ra'atin, for a woman to get married, yatazawwajuha, he'll marry her. But he won't get the sawab of hijrat to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore Rasul repeats, he reiterates and emphasizes, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ Whatever intention he made hijrat for, according to that will he be rewarded. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah mentioned this hadith of innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat with very slight variations in some of the words, but most of the words are exactly the same. For example, in some riwayat, yankihuha, and some riwayat, yatazawwajuha, is exactly the same meaning. Or innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat wa innama limri'in ma nawa, and some riwayat, likulli imri'in ma nawa, exactly the same thing. But Imam Bukhari mentioned this hadith 7 times in his Bukhari Sharif. under different headings, 7 times. So scholars and ulama have brought this hadith to remind themselves that we must do things only for the pleasure of Allah. This kitab that we have written, or the kitab that we are teaching, it must be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the talib, the one who is seeking, the one who is listening, the one who is reading the book, he also corrects his intention. He also checks his intention. Why am I listening? Why am I reading? My reading, my listening must be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith that frightens us, especially when I read that hadith. From all the hadith of Rasulullah, from this creates the most fear in me. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call 3 people. And amongst the 3, one will be an alim. In some riwayat mentioned qari. In other words, a person who sought knowledge, Allah blessed him with knowledge in this world. Ilm-e-deen. He had deeni knowledge. And Allah will ask him that, what did you do? He said, Allah, I sought this knowledge of deen solely for your pleasure. And I taught it to people. Allah will respond and say, you learned this knowledge, you taught it to people, you, so that you may be called that you're an alim, you're a qari, you're a great person, you're a allama, you're a very learned scholar. وَقَدْ قِيلَ, it was said to you in the word. People praised you. You wanted that. You wanted everybody to say, mashallah, he's a big hazrat, he's a big qari sahab, he's a big alim, big sheikh. And you wanted that. You wanted everybody to praise you. فَقَدْ قِيلَ, it was said to you. Now you go into Jahannam, and this person will be dragged into Jahannam. Allahumma ahfazna, may Allah protect us. Second person, a mujahid. Person who gives him his body, his soul, his entire life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes a martyr, a shaheed. And it will be said to him also, why you, what did you do? Say, Allah, I became martyr in your path for your sake. Allah will say, no, you did it so that people may praise you. But the man became shaheed, and after you gone from this world, everybody will praise you. Well, it was said to you, all those praises were given to you. And he also will be thrown in Jahannam. And then a rich person, a wealthy person, who was a generous person, he spent on people. And the same thing will be said to him, that you did things, or you were generous so that people may praise you. وَقَدْ قِيلَ, it was said to you. And then he will be dragged also and thrown into Jahannam. It is mentioned, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to narrate this hadith, he would fall unconscious. Unconscious. So this, although alim and shaheed and a sakhi person is mentioned, because these people's action is so great, but because of no ikhlas, this was the result. Now imagine us, how much more it is for us also. There's so many things we do in deen, our salat. Now we're reading salat, it should be, our heart should be such that we take out everybody else besides Allah. Now we're reading for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're doing it so people see us, and they will praise us and say, mashallah, he's a very pious person. And see how much of a nafil. Does this not mean that a person not in nafil? Ulama say that to stop a good action out of fear that people may think that I am showing off, that it is also part of riyah. It's also part of show. So in public, for example, the masjid, doesn't mean just read your fard namaz and run away out of the masjid. No, you got to read nafil and read how much you want. But when you are reading, your mind must never drift and go away to what people might praise me and say. And the moment people praise you, then you must ponder over the ayat, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever bounty I am bestowed with, I am given the tawfiq, the ability to read a lot of salat, abundant salat, or dhikr, or give wa'az, nasihat, or tilawat, or being generous to the poor people, whatever it may be. Whatever ni'mat Allah has blessed you with, فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not my own. It's not my own strength. It's not my own skill. It's not my own knowledge. It is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, it's a very vast topic. But to illustrate to us, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, what type of ikhlas they had. How sincere they were. How wholehearted they were. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is on the battlefield. We know his valor, we know his bravery, we know his strength. In one battle, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala pulled out the door, a very huge, massive door, very heavy door of a fort, just with one hand. Sahaba say so many of them together, they were unable to lift this door. This was his strength. Now he is fighting and suddenly he seizes a Jew. And he pins him onto the ground, sits on his chest, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu draws his sword out, is about to kill him, when the Jew spits on the face of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Spits on his face. Now imagine then the anger of the person. This man has got the audacity, I've got him down, I'm going to kill him, and now he spits on me. So any other person would have sliced this person's head. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu put his sword back into its sheath and left this person. The Jew runs behind him and tells him, no, explain to me please. What have you done? You had every opportunity of killing me. I spat on your face. And then you didn't even kill me. You went away. Why? So he explains to the Jew that I had sat on your chest. I was ready to kill you. And this was solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the moment you spat on me, I became angry inside. And now if I had to kill you, it was for personal motive, just to take revenge. Out of this anger, I would have killed you. Then it would not have been for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in the kitabs of history that this Jew then became a Muslim. When he realized what is sincerity, what is ikhlas in deen. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, it is Isha Salat, and one person performs the Isha Salat. And in the Isha Salat, he recites, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh was gripped with such fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he began to cry. After Salat, he sat in his place, and of course, silently he cried. He began to ponder and reflect. One person took notice of this, and everybody else, all the other musallis, when they left, so they used to have a candle that would just lighten up the masjid. So this person did not want to disturb Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. So he leaves the masjid and leaves his candle burning. Comes Fajr time, this person comes to the masjid, he sees that this candle is burning. Imam Sahib is still sitting over there, and in the same thoughts, and he's addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, O Allah, ajir Nu'man, ajir Nu'man. O Allah, save Nu'man from the fire of Jahannam. Allahumma ajir Nu'man minan nar. Allahumma ajir Nu'man minan nar. This person goes there and he sees Imam Abu Hanifa happened to see him. So suddenly when he sees him, he asks him, did you come for the candle? He says, Hazrat, it's already Fajr time. Already Fajr time. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was so engrossed, he did not even realize that he spent the whole night there. When he realized that now the whole night had gone by, and he was in this condition, and this person had now seen this, that Imam Sahib sat there from Ishara till Fajr, and now he might go and tell everybody. He says, please, for Allah's sake, do not mention this to any person. This person then would have mentioned it to others after the demise of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. So it is mentioned that Imam Sahib performed his Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr with the same wudu. And this happened on many occasions. But the point here was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi could have become happy. Hey, this man saw me that from Isha time I'm sitting right till Fajr. And now he'll tell every other person, it'll be an advertisement for me. And I'll gain fame like this. Imam Sahib takes a promise from him, please not to mention to any person. There was one person who performed namaz Maghrib Salat or whatever Salat it was. And he was returning home. And suddenly he sees a man rushing to the masjid. So en route the person asks him, Bhai, Namaz is over? Jamaat is over? He says, Jamaat is over. The person who had come late and rushing to the masjid, he said, with such grief and such pain, because he missed his Jamaat. It caused him so much of pain, so much of distress, that he took out one, he sighed a huge cry. So the other person tells him, hey, listen. The namaz I made with Jamaat, I'm prepared to give it to you in lieu of your one, So the person says, well, explain to me, what are you saying? He says, your one, because you missed your Jamaat, although you were rushing for Salat. But you said it with such pain, such grief, such huzn. There was so much of ikhlas in it. It is far greater than my namaz that I perform with Jamaat without ikhlas. Without sincerity. Therefore you rather give me your and you take away my sawab. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was once mentioning to the tabi'een or his students, he said, you know, there was a zamana, a time when we had gone out on battle and there was hardly any food for us to eat. In fact, there was nothing. Whatever food we had became very scarce or it was finished. And we did not have shoes even to wear. So we tied our feet with rags, pieces of cloth and material. And therefore that battle is known as Dhatul Riqa. Riqa means pieces of material. He says, you know, whilst on that journey, our feet would become swollen. Our feet would become swollen. There were cracks on our feet. The nails on our feet would fall off. It was such a difficult journey and so much of qurbani we had to make, and he's about to explain more and he stops. And he said, what am I going to gain in mentioning all these things to you? Ulama explained. He stopped, he paused. In fact, he did not mention the entire incident. It's because he had fear of riya and show and no ikhlas, that I'm going to mention to all these people, and as I'm mentioning, my nafs is going to get very excited and I'll ponder, yes, what qurbani I made and so much of sacrifice I made. So there's no point in my explaining to the others. I'd rather keep quiet and gain the full ajr in the hereafter. It must not happen that Allah Ta'ala just gives me all the ajr in the form of people's praises and I'm repaid here for whatever good action I did in this world. These are sahaba of Rasulullah. How often we brag about some little small things that we have done. Yes, if it is solely for the purposes of targhib, for example, an ustad will tell his pupils that when I studied hifz, for example, when I studied in the madrasa, we had to go through these sacrifices. And this is how we studied, so that they may implement those things in their lives. And even whilst he's mentioning this to them, he must also check his nafs all the time. Or Sheikh tells the murid. So these are purposes of targhib. So others may also bring these good actions in their lives. But as far as possible, there must be ikhfa. Person must conceal himself. Ulama explain. Roots of a tree. Where do you find the roots? On top? No, bottom. It is hidden. Because beneath the soil. And without the roots of the tree, you won't get any branches, you won't get any leaves, you won't be any fruit. So if the root is destroyed, it becomes decayed. The entire tree will become decayed. You see, this is the roots of the tree. This is ikhlas. This is ikhlas in all our amal. So the more ikhlas we have, in other words, the more we conceal our actions, quietly we do things. The hadith mentions about the seven persons who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Among the seven, one person is such that he spends in the path of Allah that his right hand gives and his left hand does not even know the right hand is giving. حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. In other words, he does it with so much of ikhlas. So when a person has this type of ikhlas, then what will generate? Then actions will come out, actions will be produced. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such, when Allah likes the person's action, and the man does it with ikhlas, sincerity, then Allah will bring it to the attention of people without this person broadcasting, without him advertising, without him having mentioned to any person. Somehow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it to the attention of others as well. So indeed we require this sarira, this ikhfa. We have to hide our amal, ikhlas, not to brag and show and do things for riya and ostentation. But also there are times when we have to bring about this amal in the open. We are traveling, it's salat time. We're not going to hide somewhere and perform our salat. We'll do it in the open. The non-Muslims will see. We'll see the beauty of salat. It'll be an invitation for them towards deen. Sometimes we have to give charity. People are watching us. Because everybody is next to us. And we want to help the poor person. So at that time we are going to give the person. So there will be times of alaniya, where a person will have to do things openly as well. But most of the times he must do things in a concealed manner, in secrecy. But because there is a need also sometimes to give targheeb to others, to invite others toward Islam, therefore we have to do sometimes in the open as well. Now together, when a person has this outward time, or times when he's going to do things openly and in public, but would that the main thing is the roots, that he does it with ikhlas, together with this, this brings the beauty of deen. Otherwise, if every action we're going to do only at home or quietly somewhere, then how are we going to invite people towards Sharia and deen? So if we are calling people or doing things in public, then to check our nafs, it must be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One great buzurg. Now to tell people, to give them targheeb, to encourage them towards some good action. For example, tilawat of the Quran, whatever it may be. He would not tell his students and his disciples and his murids and his friends that I did this action. He said, you know, I know of a person who for 30 years did this. I know of a person very well who did the following amal. Of course, he knows himself very well. So he doesn't take his own name. He doesn't give any indication whatsoever that he's referring to himself. This is ikhlas. There's one buzurg. He would enter his home, go into his room, lock the door and recite Quran. But he would become overwhelmed when he used to recite the Quran. He should ponder over the meanings and he would cry profusely. When he should cry, then the children of the home, they would imitate his crying. They would laugh at him, they'll imitate him. So one day one person went there to that house, a visitor comes. And then he sees some child crying, making some funny sounds. He asks, what's this? What's happening? So the mother of the child explains, he says, no, he's only imitating a certain pious sage, or servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to live here, family member. And when he used to recite the Quran, then he should cry. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَخْرُجْ When he used to make intention now to leave the home, he's going to the masjid or he's going for some other work now, has been to the marketplace, whatever work he's got, and he has to leave the home. غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ He would wash his face, remove all those tears, وَاكْتَحَلَ And then he'll apply surma, so that, لِأَلَّا يُرَى أَثَرُ بُكَائِهِ So that the effects of his crying may not be shown on his face, and people must not see that he was crying, so that his ikhlas is not affected. Now they went to such great lengths. Inshallah, we will continue in the next couple of weeks with Allah Ta'ala give us ikhlas and Allah Ta'ala make it easy to continue on this topic of ikhlas, how Sahaba had ikhlas, Rasulullah ikhlas, the ilaj, how to bring ikhlas in our life. And we will continue more malfuzat of wakabirin, mashayikh, salaf al-saliheen, what type of ikhlas they had. We'll look at the incident, inshallah. We will discuss the mawaid of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi and other mashayikh, so that we may develop this ikhlas in our lives. And this is the yardstick. And this is the criteria that will decide whether our action is accepted or rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do things solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's accepted. But if we do it to show people, it's rejected. On the day of Qiyamah, the hadith of Rasul says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَى يَعْنِي الشِّرْكِ. We have partnerships in this world, one or two or three partners. Allah says, I am the most independent of having any partner. I don't need any partner. So whoever does an action for me and for somebody else in this world, initially the person comes, genuinely has ikhlas, then he sees quite a few people in the masjid. So now he does it also to show them on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say, see, there are partners in the world. The explanation is, the partners share the prophets. So Allah says, from all partners and partnership, I don't need any partnership in my life, or I don't need any partnership at all. So this amal that you have done, give it to that person. He can take that action. You read salat? Give it to him. I don't need the salat. So Allah Ta'ala then rejects all his actions. Allah says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِي الشِّرْكِ. You associated a partner to me in that action. You did it for me and for that person. I don't need this type of partnership. Give it to him and now get your reward from him. Will that person be able to reward him? No. Therefore, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. We have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our entire deen, our eating, our drinking, our walking, our sleeping, our interaction with people, our ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, our hajj, our qurb, everything must be done only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the moment there's any blemish in our niyat, any dirt that comes in, immediately rectify it. Immediately take it out. Make tawbah istighfar, again bring it and bring Allah ta'ala alone in our heart. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.